श्री राधा कुंज बिहारी भगवान की, सीताई गौरचंद्र भगवान की, प्रभुपाद की। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर टाइटल द फर्स्ट स्टेप इन गॉड रियलाइजेशन वर्स 13। खटवांगो नाम राज ऋषि ज्ञाते ज्ञात्वेयताम् इहायुषः मुहूर्तात् सर्वम् उत्सृज्य गतवान् अभयम् हरिम्। खट्वाङ्गोऽपि नाम राजऋषि ज्ञात्वेयताम् इहायुषः मुहूर्तात् सर्वम् उत्सृज्य गतवान् अभयम् हरिम्। खट्वाङ्गो नाम राजऋषि ज्ञात्वेयताम् इहायुषः मुहूर्तात् सर्वम् उत्सृज्य गतवान् अभयम् हरिम्। खटवांगः किं खटवांग नाम नेम राजऋषिः सेंटली किंग ज्ञात्वा बाय नोइंग इयतां ड्यूरेशन इह इन दिस वर्ल्ड आयुषः ऑफ वन्स लाइफ मुहूर्तात् विथ ओनली अ मोमेंट सर्वम् एवरीथिंग उत्सृज्य लीविंग असाइड गतवान् हैड अंडरगॉन अभयम् फुल्ली सेफ हरिम् द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The saintly King Khatwang, after being informed that the duration of his life would be only a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. Purport: A fully responsible man should always be conscious of the prime duty of the present human form of life. The activities to meet the immediate necessities of material life are not everything. One should always be alert in his duty for attainment of the best situation in the next life. Human life is meant for preparing ourselves for that prime duty. Maharaj Khatwang is mentioned herein as a saintly king because even within the responsibility of the state management, he was not at all forgetful of the prime duty of life. Such was the case with other Raj Rishis, saintly kings, like Maharaj Yudhishthir and Maharaj Parikshit. They were all exemplary personalities on account of their being alert and discharging their prime duty. Maharaj Khatwanga was invited by the demigods in the higher planets to fight demons. And as a king, he fought the battles to the full satisfaction of the demigods. The demigods, being fully satisfied with him, wanted to give him some benediction for material enjoyment. But Maharaj Khatwang, being very much alert to his prime duty, inquired from the demigods about his remaining duration of life. This means that he was not as anxious to accumulate some material benedictions from the demigods as he was to prepare himself for the next life. He was informed by the demigods, however, that his life would last only a moment longer. The king at once left the heavenly kingdom, which is always full of material enjoyment of the highest standard, and coming down to this earth took ultimate shelter of the all-safe personality of Godhead. He was successful in his attempt and achieved liberation. This attempt, even for a moment by the saintly king, was successful because he was always alert to his prime duty. Maharaj Parikshit was thus encouraged by the great Shukadeva Goswami. Even though he had only 7 days left in his life to execute the prime duty of hearing the glories of the Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. By the will of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit instantly met the great Shukadeva Goswami, and the great treasure of spiritual success left by him is nicely mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Maiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamshcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamshcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially His Grace Adhisham Prabhu, so that I can speak something worthwhile for the purification of my filthy heart and for the glorification of the Lord. So today morning, this verse of the first canto of Srimad, second canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam describes how the ultimate success of life was attained by Maharaj Khatwanga. As we know in this section, Shukadeva Goswami has appeared on the scene and is encouraging Parikshit Maharaj to stick to his determination to fast till death. He is giving examples. Yesterday's verse, he so eloquently described Radhe Shyam Prabhu, said how one moment of pure consciousness is much more valuable than a prolonged lifetime of ignorance or forgetfulness. And the Bhagavatam is a very systematic book. So what was said in the previous verse is illustrated in this verse. How one moment of full consciousness of Maharaj Khatwanga enabled him to attain all perfection. That is described over here. So the entire setting of Srimad Bhagavatam is a very grave setting. If we say, oh, nowadays when Bhagavad Saptas are held, they are held mainly for the purpose of entertainment. But if we see Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken when Parikshit Maharaj was facing the curse which would cause him to die. And he was very grave that I have to face death. And how should I face death? So, most of the spiritual teachers or pseudo-spiritual teachers, whatever you want to say, when they talk about spirituality, the main thing that they do is entertain and encourage. Just entertain, give people a change. There are people who want rajoguni entertainment, that are like sports and rock music and things like that. There's tamoguni entertainment, just intoxication, drugs. And there is sattvaguni entertainment, that is Bhagavad Katha. So, yes, it is beneficial in some way. But if you just entertain and encourage, yeah, they will tell some stories how God protected everyone and how God is alright, everything will be alright and don't worry. And that way, people say, yes, very nice. Yes, God is with me no matter what I do in this life. Yes, I can do whatever I want, I can pursue my sense gratificatory life and God will be there with me to help me. However, if we see the approach of Srila Prabhupada and our Acharyas, yes, this material world is a discouraging place. And when we have to struggle in this world, manah chashtani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. So there is struggle. And one purpose of going to a spiritual assembly is also to be encouraged. But the most people in the, nowadays I'm writing some spiritual books, so for new people, so I'm reading some other spiritual books. So for most people in the outside world, spiritual is synonymous with mental. That means anything which makes you feel good, gives you nice thoughts, helps you feel happy, that they consider as spiritual. But Srila Prabhupada explains, spiritual means what? Spiritual means anything connected with spirit, connected with soul and connected with the Supreme Spirit, God. That is spiritual. Not just something which makes me feel good is spiritual. So, people say, the atmosphere, I was reading one book, the atmosphere in my office is very spiritual. Why? Because all of us follow a gentlemanly etiquette and don't speak harsh to each other. That's why it's very spiritual. That is not spiritual. So, spiritual means that which is beyond matter. Matter and spirit are opposite. So therefore, when we come to Shastra like Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam will also encourage us. But before encouraging, there is one more step that is enlighten. Enlighten and then encourage. Enlighten means you have to tell the higher truths of life. Yes, this world is a place of misery, and unless we tell people that this world is a place of misery and the more we engage in sinful activities, the more we are going to become miserable. Unless we give that enlightenment to people, we are actually cheating them and we are not doing our service properly of giving spiritual knowledge to people. So there is enlighten. We see the way Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was also very encouraging to the hippies. But he did not pander to their sentimental ideas of, for example, peace. The Vietnam War was going on, they said we want peace. Prabhupada said, even if this war stops, there are hundreds of other things that will disturb your peace. And the only way you can get peace is when you make peace with God in your heart, when you surrender to God. That's when you will become truly peaceful. And to bring about that peace in the heart with God and to enable people to have that peace in society, those who were disrupting that peace, that is Duryodhana and others, they had to be fought and destroyed. So it was a war which was fought against those who were peace disruptors. So Prabhupada spoke about the war and many people got alienated at that time. But Prabhupada was enlightening, then encouraging. He said, yes, whatever be your conditioning, yes, the power of the holy name is so powerful, so great, so merciful that you can overcome all conditioning. Do not fear. And do not just encourage and leave. That's why Prabhupada, we quoted this in the beginning of the invocation, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Not just we hear a little bit and go away. So enlighten, encourage and engage. What should I do? Okay, I know God is there, I am here. So I just believe that God is there? No, that's not it. After believing God, what do I have to do after that? Just like the Christians say that, you know, you have to believe in Jesus as a savior. So Vrindavan Prabhu was telling that when they preach in America, they say, Yes, you believe in the Savior, but we follow the Savior. The Savior says, thou shall not kill. You say you believe him, but you don't follow him. So, after encourage, yes, we understand that the Lord and his representatives come as the message of love. But after encouraging, we have to do some practical activity, which will enable us to become connected with him. So we will see, this is what happens. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj was never not enlightened, but the systematic philosophy is taught and now he is encouraging him. Right? Yes, there are others also who conquer death. And then what is the engagement? For the next 7 days continuously is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that is what a real spiritualist should do. Enlighten, encourage and engage. If we just at a material level encourage and leave people, then we are, it's like a doctor who just gives a painkiller and leaves the patient. Doesn't give him the medicine. So here, I was telling about how the Bhagavatam is talking about facing death. Now death has been the source of fear for all people since time immemorial. And there are brazen atheists who say that man is so foolish to be afraid of death. Actually, that is, they're quoting some doctors as they say that actually death is a very peaceful experience. And there are so many people who have gone beyond death and have come back. And they all report. Sometimes the people have this out-of-body experience and near-death experience. They say, they report, we saw a very peaceful, bright light and we felt very peaceful and protected and we came back. There's nothing to be afraid of in death. So unnecessarily, the religionists have created a fear of death by which they force you to surrender to God and go towards God. Now, of course, yes, these so-called, sometimes these out-of-body experiences, which are near-death experiences that people get, they fall in different categories. And one of the, we use this as one of the proofs for life beyond death. But one of the arguments the atheists give is that if there is some life beyond death, then why is it that a Christian will see Jesus and a Hindu will see Krishna and a Muslim will see the representative of Allah or Allah? So, he says that means this, whatever you are imagining, that is just imagination, there is no reality. According to the beliefs that you have got throughout your life, you are imagining that there is some sort of reality over there. So, in the Christian theology, there is no answer to this argument. Because they say that Jesus is the only way. So yes, if those who see Jesus, they are seeing reality, and everybody who is seeing Krishna, Ram or Allah, they are hallucinating. That's their answer. And that appears very fanatical. But Dhritakarma Prabhu explains in his book Human Devolution that according to the Vedic cosmology, the cosmos is multi-level and the Lord has many representatives. So according to which representative of the Lord we are following, that representative or his assistant will guide us in the transition from this life to another. So it's not that just because different religions see different things, it's all imagination. There is a reality. If a person is having faith in Jesus, then Jesus or his representative will guide him forward. So this happens. So there are other experiences also of people who have seen Yamadutas, ghastly personalities, and they got frightened and they came back and then they became very religious and virtuous after that. So this is a complete misconception that death is a peaceful experience. No, that is a horrendously painful experience. Actually, death is the ultimate fear and not without reason. It's because we lose everything that we are attached to. But the Bhagavatam teaches us that by transforming our attachment from the things that we are going to lose, that is all the material things, if we transfer that to Krishna, then we gain Krishna at the time of death. So the nature of death is such that even the most fearless persons may become fearful. This is illustrated in the Mahabharata. During the Ajnatavas of the Pandavas, last year as it was ending the 13th year, Duryodhana suspected that after the death of Kichak, the Pandavas are probably incognito in the kingdom of Virat. So they made a plan and Susharma along with his Trigartha warriors attacked the kingdom of Virat from one side. And King Virat along with his most of his army and his commanders went to defend on that side. And that time, from the other side, the entire Kaurava army with all their Maharathas attacked. So, at that time, when they captured all the cows, that was the system. They would not attack civilians. Nowadays, terrorism means they attack only civilians. just cowardice. But they captured the cows, and the coward man came running, coward leader. And Bhuminjaya, the son of Virat, was sitting on the throne in the absence of his father, as the representative. And he started pleading and wailing. He said, "Oh, Prince Bhuminjaya, you are the virtuous son of a great warrior, and our cows have been stolen. Please, you indeed, you are like Arjuna. Please save us in this moment of great fear." So Bhuminjaya, when addressed like this in front of all the palace courtiers and the palace ladies, immediately he got up and he said, "Yes, today I will display such a feat of prowess that the Kaurava warriors will start thinking it is Arjuna indeed who is fighting them. I will bring all their pride down to dust. But there is one problem." "The problem is, I don't have a charioteer. Recently in a war my charioteer was killed." So, and Draupadi was there, Sharendri, she was serving the queen, and she heard. So she felt very pained to have this Bhuminjaya being compared to Arjuna. So she was there, and she immediately gave the news to Brihanalla, who was Arjuna in the garb of a eunuch. And Arjuna, when he heard that the Kauravas are attacking, he was 13 years itching for an opportunity to fight. So he told Brihanalla, you go and tell that, he told Sharendri, "You go and tell Brihanalla that Brihanalla was the charioteer of Partha. And he is himself a powerful bowman, and he is a peerless charioteer. In fact, it was he who was the charioteer of Arjuna when Arjuna defeated the gods, the demigods, at the fight in Khandava." So Sharendri went and told. He was saying, "I don't have a chariot." He says, "Brihanalla is a great charioteer." Bhuminjaya was taken aback. He said, "How can I ask a eunuch to drive my chariot?" He says, "You don't have to ask. You tell Uttara to ask, your sister to ask." So Uttara went and she asked. And immediately Brihanalla came. Arjuna came there, and Bhuminjaya looked at Brihanalla, and till now he had just rejected my eunuch, but now he looked at him, his body was like a mountain, and his muscles were like maces. So he said, "Yes, he can be a good charioteer." He says, "You become my charioteer." So Arjuna, just to make fun, he said, "I thought you wanted to learn dancing, that's why I came so enthusiastically." I am a dance teacher, what do I know about fighting? Says, "Whatever you are, you come with me now." So then you wear this armor, and as he was wearing the armor, Arjuna, just to make fun, he took the armor and he pretended as if he didn't know how to tie the armor, and it fell down. So then Bhuminjaya looked at him and he tied the armor around him. And then as they were departing, so his sisters and other palace ladies said, "Oh Bhuminjaya, when you defeat the Kaurava warriors, please bring some of the silken cloths of the Kaurava warriors. We'll use them to decorate our dolls." "Yes, I'll surely bring," he said. And he went out. And Arjuna was at the helm of the chariot, and the chariot seemed to fly through the air. Short time they reached the border. And when Bhuminjaya saw the Kaurava army, it was like a vast ocean that seemed to be flowing at a huge height like a tsunami wave. Or it appeared to be like a forest of tall sal trees which seemed to be charging towards him. And his mouth fell open and his hair stood up and his bow fell from his hand. And he said, "I cannot fight an army like this." He said, "I am a mere 16-year-old boy and they are all Maharathas. I am not experienced in warfare. There are thousands and I am alone. Oh Brihanalla, let us go back. We cannot fight." So Brihanalla said, "Oh Arjuna, oh Bhuminjaya, you have said that you will fearlessly defeat all the Kauravas, but here you have become fearful even before the fighting has started." What will your father say? What will all the palace ladies say? How will you show your face to all the other warriors in the assembly if you run away from a battlefield?" So Bhuminjaya was trembling. He said, "Let my father say whatever he wants. Let men and women laugh at me. Let people deride me. Let the Kauravas take our wealth. Let them do whatever they want with the cows. I am going. If you are coming, you come with me." And he jumped off the chariot and started running away. So Arjuna shouted to him, "A Kshatriya never runs away from the battlefield. It will be a disgrace for you." He says, "Grace and disgrace are a matter for one who is alive." And he ran away. So Arjuna jumped off his chariot and he started running after him and he caught him by his dress and Brihanallah, let me go. When we get back safely to the palace, I will give 100 coins of pure gold, 8 Vaidurya stones, a chariot with the best of horses and 10 ferocious elephants. Just let me go now. So Arjuna caught him firmly and he said, eulogized by Uttara and Shailendri and commanded by you, I have come here to fight this war and attain victory. If you are not ready to fight, then I will become the fighter, you become my chariot. Let us, charioteer, let us swap positions. They dragged him back. So, Bhumija was still trembling, but seeing the confidence of Brihanallah, he got a little confidence. And meanwhile, the Kauravas were watching all this spectacle from the other side. And they were wondering, first they saw this, they immediately recognized Bhumija, but they were saying, who is this strange looking person who is dressed like a neuter, but his body is like that of like that of Arjuna itself. And then saw the spectacle that Bhumija was running away and this person was chasing after him, God, and they were watching all the time. As they were watching, then Arjuna told him, you know, I need some weapons which are there on top of this shamik tree. Let us go and get them. Told him, you climb up and get those weapons. He says, I have heard there is a corpse there. I cannot touch a corpse. It's not a corpse, it's weapons. You go and get it. And reluctantly Bhumija climbed up and when he picked it up, he struggled under the weight. So heavy. It said the weight of the Gandiva was equal to 1,000 normal bows. It was so heavy. And there are other weapons also. Bhima's Gada was also there in that. So no wonder Bhumija was struggling under the weight. And then they brought it down. And then he opened it and it was like a sun, it was night time at that time, and it was like a sun rising suddenly, the weapons were resurgent. And Bhumija was standing, he said, whose weapons are these? He said, these are the Pandavas' weapons. He said, this is Arjuna's Gandiva. It was first used by Brahma, and then it was used by Indra, then Soma, and then Varuna, and from Varuna it came to Arjuna. So it came to Arjuna, he didn't say that I am Arjuna till now. Then he said, these are the Pandavas' weapons? And how did you know that they are there? And Arjuna had been calculating all this time. And he realized that 1 year is over. Sunset had occurred. He said, I am Arjuna. And he told about all Pandavas. Bhumija was stunned. He said, he had never doubted it. But now when he thought about it, it seemed obvious that those chivalrous personalities could not have been just ordinary servants. And then Arjuna said, let us fight now. So, in the meantime, the Kauravas were watching and they were wondering, who are these people? They're suspecting it might be Arjuna. Then Arjuna twanged his bow. When he twanged his bow, and the string went back and came back, it appeared as if two mountains were colliding against each other. And the horses on the chariot of Bhumija just fell on the ground. And Bhumija fell off his chariot. And Arjuna told him, you are a Kshatriya, what happened to you? He said, you are not even started the war, I just twanged the bow. He said, yes, but I have never heard any bow twanging like this. And then Arjuna blew the conch shell. And as soon as they heard the conch shell and they heard the clanging of the bows, the Kauravas understood that it is Arjuna. And then in the darkness, as Dronacharya was observing, suddenly two arrows came and fell at the feet of Dronacharya. Two arrows came at the feet of Bhishma. Two arrows came and fell at the feet of Kripacharya. And Dronacharya looked, raised his hand and smiled. It is indeed Arjuna. Our doubt has been confirmed. On seeing his elders after many years, Arjuna is sending arrows to seek blessings. Beware, O warriors, his next arrows will not be seeking blessings. So, then Bhumija started fighting. He started managing the chariot and Arjuna had a very fierce fight. And in the course of the fight, Bhumija got completely exhausted. And he was exhausted and he couldn't control the horses, who were also exhausted. And Arjuna was fighting, Arjuna asked, why has the chariot stopped? He said, I cannot fight anymore, I am exhausted completely. So Arjuna said, oh, you are a Kshatriya, take heart and fight for just a short while. I have no strength left. He said, just remember the Supreme Lord and that remembrance will give you strength. And following his instruction, he fixed his mind on the Supreme Lord and he got strength and continued fighting. And eventually, Arjuna emerged victorious. in that war. So here we see Bhumanja is a trained Kshatriya, and one of the qualities of Kshatriya is Yuddhe Chapya Apalayanam, that one should never run away from a battlefield out of fear. But what happened? He became utterly fearful. So how did he overcome his fear? Because of the presence and association of Arjuna, who was utterly fearless of death. So actually our situation is also like that. We are in this journey of life, and as we confront death, we become fearful. But the Supreme Lord, who is there in our heart, who is actually our Sarathi, who is our charioteer, if we take shelter of him, follow his instructions, then we can become fearless. So we can take shelter of him by associating with his devotees and taking guidance from them. So actually, although death is the source of the greatest fear, death is also the source of the greatest opportunity. Because for a devotee, death means Krishna is taking him closer to him, either back home, back to Godhead, or another situation which will enable him to better practice his devotional service. So here, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how, what is our prime duty. Now, most people in India think that the duty is to take care of your parents, to take care of your family, to take care of your wife, and that's all. And if you want, you can worship God. But they think the real duty is what? To take care of your family. And if somebody starts worshipping God too much, people say, start saying, two hours Hare Krishna, says, take care of your family responsibilities. Why are you spending so much time? So actually, we know there are six systems of philosophy in the Vedic literature. And in the six systems, there is one philosophy called Karma Mimamsa. So when 5000 years ago, Vyasadeva propagated all the philosophy, Vyasadeva wrote all the Vedic literature, and the different sages, they codified and explained those Vedic philosophy from different perspectives. So because of the lack of, since Sringi cursed the Parishit Maharaj, so the Brahmanas lost their power and their purity. Because of that, the Brahmanas, actually what happens is, generally the Kshatriyas are in the mode of passion, and Brahmanas are what? Connect the material world with the spiritual world. That's why in the Vedic culture, Brahmanas are called as Bhudeva. They are like gods who are living on this earth. So when the Brahmanas lost sight of transcendence because of the abuse of power by Sringi, at that time, the result of that abuse of power was that the Brahmanas also started becoming materialistic. Yes, they were devoted to God. But they were devoted to God for what purpose? For the purpose of getting better material gains. And then the whole society followed suit. So that's how the idea of Karma Mimamsa. Right, Karma Mimamsa means what? Do your duties and then God will give you the rewards. You don't have to worship God separately from that. That has gained prominence. So if you say 2.47 in Bhagavad Gita, for any analysis is not a very prominent verse. Say 18.66 is the most prominent verse. Sarva Dharmaan Parityaja. But because the predominant understanding in society is Karma Mimamsa. So there is a saying in the Tamid that we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. So because the society had become materialistic, and yes, God was certainly a factor, because Vedic culture was so deep rooted that God is always a factor. But the idea was that God will give you the rewards if you do your duty and you don't have to do anything else. And because of this prevalence of Karma Mimamsa in Indian society, verses like 2.47 gained prominence. And that has become so deep-rooted now, that if one talks about the higher levels of religion, people consider that as a responsibility. Why are you giving up your responsibility to your parents and becoming dedicated to God? It's such a glorious thing if somebody wants to dedicate himself to God. But this is not even Ardha Kukut Nyaya. It is Satkur Kukut Nyaya. Satkur means one-fourth. Take only one-fourth of a shloka. Karmanne Vadikarse, not even half of a shloka. So, this is because of that. So Prabhupada is confronting this idea head-on. And this idea of Karma Mimamsa actually falls when we talk about death. Because, in fact, the Karma Mimamsa philosophy eventually leads to the idea that God can justify His existence only when He fulfills our desires. If God doesn't fulfill my desire, then God doesn't exist only. The proof that God exists is that He fulfills my desires. And God is in danger of extinction if He doesn't prove by Himself by fulfilling my desires. So, it is a very incomplete understanding. At best. At worst it can be disastrously wrong, but at best it is incomplete. So Srila Prabhupada explains, what is our prime duty? Our prime duty is actually to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Our prime duty is to develop our love for the Supreme Lord. And this is what the Bhagavatam is special for. Bhagavatam says that, Nautpadaye jadiratim shramaye vahi kevalam. That everything else we do, if you're not developing our attraction to the Supreme Lord, it's just a waste of time. So if you see this song, Bhulya Tomare Samsare Asiya Peenana Vidhavyatha. So the whole song doesn't talk about a person who is material, who is sinful. No, it talks about a person who is materially very duty bound. You know, he does his studies as a student, then Vidyara Gaurave Brahme Deshe Deshe. Nowadays people get IIT degree then go Brahme Deshe Deshe. They go abroad. Then Sajana Palana Kori Ekamana Bhulinu Tomare Hari. Sajana Palana, with very great faithfulness one is taking care of one's family. But Bhulinu Tomare Hari, I forgot you. So actually the life story that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about, from a material point of view, it's a very successful life story. It's a very successful life story, but even a successful life from the transcendental point of view is unsuccessful. And that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the end he says, Na bhajiya tore dina vritha gela ekhona kiha begadi dina vritha gela. So if you ask materialistic people what is waste of time, then the parents will say, don't waste too much time watching television and playing sports, do your studies. But according to Shastra, if you just do our material duties but don't turn towards Krishna, that is also a waste of time. And the Bhagavatam talks about such a high level of spirituality. And when we are practicing bhakti, actually it's not an abstract sudden thing that we just keep practicing bhakti and automatically we become pure devotees. Yes, the process of bhakti will enable us to advance. But what is the whole process of bhakti meant for? Krishna says, Mai asakta manaha. Our mind has to become attached to Krishna. As I said, Vishwak na utpadaye jadiratim, that rati has to develop. So when the mind becomes attached to Krishna, then gradually we are actually becoming successful in our devotional life. And in the path of bhakti, we also do many activities, but each of us has to check, how much am I becoming attached to Krishna? Is not my mind, is it becoming attracted to Krishna? If my mind is attracted to material things, then we may go on with the activities of bhakti, but we are not really making solid spiritual advancement. By our devotional service, our mind should become attracted to Krishna. And in the Patanjali Yoga Sutra, Patanjali describes 5 stages through which the mind goes till it attains samadhi. And those stages are also analogous to what we can experience in our advancement in bhakti. So first he says is kshipta. Kshipta means first he says the lowest stage is mudha. Mudha means deluded. So is that a person in tamoguna? Is this a person who is lazy, who is sleepy, who is intoxicated? He is not even conscious of the material world. So he is just in the mode of ignorance. And then after that, he says, somebody who comes to the mode of passion, his stage is called as vikshipta. So mudha, then kshipta. Kshipta means agitated. The person is agitated constantly. If you see, the person in the mode of ignorance is not agitated, he is peaceful. He is peaceful in illusion, peaceful in ignorance. Person in mode of passion, I have to do this, I have to do that, how will this work out, how will that work out, chintama parimayam cha. And then there is vikshipta. Vikshipta means distracted. Distracted means a person is trying to concentrate but he is not able to concentrate. Just like if a class is going on and there is a lot of noise in the background, and all the noise is constantly distracting us, that is vikshipta. So Patanjali says that vikshipta is characterized by passion and going towards goodness. But he says the mudha and the kshipta stages are useless for spiritual life. He says if you are in the mood and kshipta stages, better not do any japa. according to Yoga Sutra. But he says, better, it's no use. You have to come out of those stages. Only then we can practice further spiritual life. And then after that, he's the next thing he says is, Ekagrata. Ekagrata means concentrated. Now we can apply this especially to our japa. Now in our japa, sometimes we are in the mood still. We are half asleep or full asleep, whatever it is. Or sometimes we are in the kshipta still, you know, just waiting for the japa to get over and go everywhere else. Or in the vikshipta means, vikshipta is distracted. So we are trying to concentrate, but a lot of distraction. But then, ekagrata means concentrated. So actually our attraction to Krishna will primarily come in Kali Yuga through japa. So japa is extremely important that we concentrate, connect ourselves with Krishna in the holy name. So ekagrata means concentrated. So ekagrata is in sattvaguna. That by the influence of one's intelligence and concentration, one fixes the mind. And then he says, last stage is niruddha. Niruddha means conquered or controlled. And he says that, so ekagrata, he gives the example of, the example is given, Sutra Maharaj talks about all this in his, one of his books. So he says that, if a student, just before his exam is to study, ekagrata, absorbed. There may be distractions, but he just focuses himself because he knows the urgency, he knows the importance. And in niruddha, he gives the example of a devotee who is in a trance of love, in samadhi, just forgets the external world completely, absorbed in Krishna. So that is what we all, by the practice of bhakti, have to come to. So, yes, we know the process of meditation is impractical in Kali Yuga, because Kali Yuga bodies are not suitable for meditation. But actually, in one sense, people who meditate, at least they are clear. That, you know, now meditation means what? I have to forget the external world and I have to absorb myself in something higher. They may not know what it is. But actually often in chanting, what happens is, we forget that I have to absorb and we just mechanically utter the holy names. And actually, this is the only time when we can connect ourselves with Krishna. And we have to actually try to rise. I read in the Sutra Maharaj book, he says, meditation means, to mantra, meditation, any form of meditation means, you try to enter into a higher reality. So when we are chanting, we are trying to enter into a higher reality where only we and Krishna's holy name, which is non-different from Krishna, that is present. So we have to have that. Now let me forget the reality around me and let me also enter into that higher reality. And at least in the time of japa for the 2 hours, at least sometimes we enter into that higher reality, then at the end of our life, we can enter into that higher reality ultimately. One important point, often Khatwanga Maharaj has given an example that in one moment you can attain self-realization, one can attain perfection of life. It is true, but if you look at his life, what Prabhupada says is that Khatwanga Maharaj is not neglectful of his duty, of his prime duty, in spite of his responsibility as a king. So it is not that Khatwanga Maharaj was a materialistic person throughout his life and last moment he remembered Krishna and went back to Krishna. No, throughout his life he was a Raja Rishi. And at the end of his life, he put everything aside and put his mind exclusively on Krishna. So, like, Mamanusmara Yudhyacha. That was what he was doing throughout his life. But at the end of his life, Mayeva Manadatsva Mai Buddhim Niveshaya Nivasishyasi Mayeva Ataurdhvam Nasamshaya. So, what he did at this moment of death was exclusive focus on Krishna. But, Srila Prabhupada quotes the example of Khatwanga Maharaj in 2.72 in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says that actually one can attain God consciousness in one moment, or one cannot attain it after many, many lifetimes. It all depends on understanding and accepting the fact. So that opportunity is there for all of us. And through the examples of great souls like Khatwanga Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj, we can also hope that one day when death comes and destroys this reality, this conception of reality we have, we won't have to go into another illusion of reality, but we will enter into that ultimate reality of the dance of the divine couple. Shri Radha Krishna Radha Kunj Bihari. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.